The reading today is from John 10, verses 1 to 10, and you can find it on page 735 of your Pew Bible. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, good morning. It's I just want to say, first of all, thank you for Pastor Monica for allowing me to be here and to share my reflection of the Word of God with you all. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the youth as well, because I must, okay? So it's such a beautiful community that you have here. I hope you realize that, because, you know, Krista and I, we've been here for a few months now, and we just feel your warmth and your love as well for us. So thank you. But friends, it's pretty obvious that I don't have a sheep wandering around my small apartment in Richmond. But as you might already know, I do have a golden doodle named Louie. And honestly, with all that fluff, he is probably just as cute as a sheep. Now, ever since when I got him at 6 weeks old, Krista and I have done our best to train him, okay? So he knows, sit, Louis, and he'll sit, shake, bow, and even pray before treats, okay? So honestly, I think we did a pretty good job. Whenever we call him, he comes. If he picks up something that he shouldn't, we just say, "Drop it, Louis," and he will drop it. He'll let it go. Louis listens and obeys whatever we say. Or so we thought. One early morning, when Louis was about 6 months old, so about 4 months and a half since we got him, we were out for his pee-pee-poo-poo walk. That's when we spotted a wild bunny a little bit from on the side of the street, not too close, but definitely within sight, yeah? And suddenly I had this intrusive thought. I thought, I trained him well for the past 4 or 5 months. He knows my voice, and I'm sure he'll listen to me. I'm going to test him today. This is the day we're going to have some sort of test for him. I'll take off his leash and tell him not to get distracted, not to chase the bunny. That's exactly what I did. And goodness gracious, I couldn't have been more wrong. He ran after that bunny like there was no tomorrow, as if he knew Jesus was coming again tomorrow. So now you'll have to excuse me to think that maybe Jesus is a little bit too optimistic about his sheep here in the scripture that we just read. Let me read it again, verse 4 and 5. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Never, huh? Shall we pray together? Let's pray. Loving God, we'd say maybe lower your optimism just a tiny bit because we are pretty bad sheep. We so often mistake the thief's voice for yours. And no matter how much you call, we still find ways to run from you. But please never stop calling us by name. Because maybe one day, by your infinite grace, we will finally, truly listen to your unrelenting, gentle voice. Amen. So friends, when the scripture wants to tell us something about the relationship between God and God's people, more often than not, it explains to us using images or symbols in order for us to understand, yeah? So it makes sense because God's character, God's love, God's being is beyond everything that we could imagine. That's why we need a lot of images or metaphors to help us fill in our understanding, to feed our understanding of God and God's relationship with us. For example, in the scripture, you've heard many times, God is the father who protects and loves his children. Or God is the bridegroom that loves the bride. God is the mother hen that protects her babies. God is the sower. God is that sows the seeds. Vineyard owner, many images. Now, allow me to do two throat clearings here. The first one is this. When we say God is the father, or God is the good shepherd, or God is the love, or God is the rock, or the fortress, we're not just saying that God is like a father, or God is just like a shepherd, or like love, or like a strong rock or fortress. No. What we are saying here is this, that God is the true father, the archetype, the perfect model, the one father through whom every father in this world should strive to imitate or embody if they would like to truly be a father. Similarly, God is the archetype or the perfect model of what it means to be good shepherd. God is the archetype of what love means. God is the archetype, the perfect model of what it means to be wrong, to be rock, to be a strong fortress, to be powerful. Now, I know this can be a little bit disorienting, but it is true. Because our scripture says, in fact, we just sang it today, that in God, in Christ, we, every creation, we live and move and have our being. God is the source, the very ground of all beings. So yes, every love, every father, every shepherd, every human, every rock, every dog, every cat, every water, every bread, every grape, every and even every worm squirming in the soil, everything finds their source in God. Now here's the second throat clearing. Since God is the source, the ground of all being, the archetype, the perfect model of all being, then we can, and in fact we must too, continually deepen our understanding and experience of God through everything that exists in this world. For their own unique ways, all creations declares the glory of God. This is why we must also say that God is our mother, because she is indeed our true mother. God is our friend. God is our mountain. God is our river. So don't let the cultural context of the Bible limit your imagination or understanding or experience of God in Jesus Christ. A fun fact, in some parts of Indonesia, when you do Holy Communion, you don't use wine. You know why? Because it's kind of illegal in some places, okay? So you use coconut water. So don't limit your imagination your understanding of God in Jesus Christ with the images that only be found in the Bible. Don't throw them away, but don't be limited by them either. And this, I think, is in line with Pastor Monica's message. I call her Pastor Monica. It's just my Indonesian-ness, okay? I need to call Pastor Monica. So I call her PM, our Prime Minister, because I'm the youth minister, so, okay. In the second week of our listening and prayer series, right, take in everything from creation, the seemingly ordinary, and reflect on how each one of them reveals some truth about God, even those things that seem unlikely. There's this concept called dissimilarity. So what it means is simple. It's basically, it's easy for me, for example, to find godness, something, qualities about God in Louis, my dog, right? He's loyal. He is the one that rejoices over me when I come back from work. So it's very easy to find godness in Louis. But if you ask me to find godness in an insect, that takes a lot of, you know, theological wrestling and struggle for me to do that. But if we believe that God is the creator of everything, that God is the source of all being, then we have to acknowledge that fingerprints of God are all over the creation. And you have to find that. Yeah? So all these images and metaphors reveal something about God and who we are in relation to this God that we might not otherwise know or experience. Now, I am aware that every analogy, every metaphor limits. But nevertheless, they are helpful for our limited human understanding. This is why we need to relentlessly say the divine names, all the names of God. God is the shepherd. God is good. God is the rock. God is love. Whatever you can say from the creation, until you have no more words, and then you need to deny that as well. Because at the end of the day, they are not God. They are not God, right? The rock is not God. God is what St. Augustine says, the other, completely other. So you say all those names and then say, but that's not God. God is not good. In a way, we understand what good means, yeah? Now, today, in our scripture reading, the image given to us is that of a shepherd and his sheep. God is the good shepherd, and we are God's sheep. This is probably one of the loveliest images in the scripture. In fact, archaeologists have found that the portrayal of Jesus as a shepherd is actually one of the earliest. So this one is one of the earliest and most common Christian images in the history of Christianity. It existed even before Christian symbols and art can be made explicit due to persecution. Here's actually one of the earliest depictions of Jesus as the Good Shepherd that was found in one of the catacombs in Rome, dated back to the 2nd century, which is just a generation of two after Jesus. Very cool. Now, for that reason, just like all other images, there must be something important we wouldn't know about God and about God's relationship with us if we don't understand about what it means for God to be a shepherd and for us to be God's sheep. Now, I take the risk to assume that most of us have been Christians for a while. So for us to understand God as the good shepherd is not a hard thing to do. Our scripture is full of it. For instance, the most popular passage of Psalm 23, depicting God as the good shepherd who guides, protects, and provides for the sheep. In Psalm 78, God is portrayed as a shepherd who leads the Israelites, his people, into the promised land. Isaiah 40 speaks of God as a shepherd who gently gathers the lambs and carries them. Matthew 18 portrays God as a shepherd who will not rest until he finds the one lost sheep. And in John 10 that we've just read, if you go a little bit down in the passage, God is the shepherd who willingly lays down his life for the sheep. So God as the good shepherd, great. We can all agree with that, yeah? Agree? Can I see your thumbs up? Ah, great. All right, thanks. All agree. But tell me, what's up with the scripture reading today? Us as good sheep who listens, obey, follow, recognize the shepherd's voice? That takes a lot of theological wrestling to understand. It's hard to understand partly because in other parts of the Bible, rarely the sheep is portrayed as being good in listening, as being not lost. Let me read it for you. Isaiah 53 says something like, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray." In Jeremiah 23, we are portrayed as a flock of sheep that follows bad shepherds. In Matthew 9, Jesus saw the crowd, that is us, and it says they are like sheep without shepherd. Then, of course, in the famous parable of the lost sheep, we are portrayed as being what? Really lost. Now, just to clarify, the 99 sheep who are not lost, that's not us, okay? In the ancient church, that's often interpreted as the angels, as the thrones of God, the glories of God. So not us. We are all of us, basically that one sheep who got lost. So being sheep is definitely not usually a flattering image, precisely because sheep usually got lost. They usually run away from the shepherds, like Louis. We usually listen to the other voices. So this passage today that portrays us as good sheep who always listen and never run away just doesn't cut it. Hard to understand. I began to wonder if maybe one of the sheep learned how to write and edit the Bible just to make them look good, you know. Because you know what? Not just in the scripture. In real life, sheep are no better. In fact, here's a true story. In Turkey, while shepherding, a shepherd was eating breakfast. Then somehow one sheep, just one, wandered off and fell off a cliff. And the other, you know how many? The other 1,500 sheep followed. See the report from BBC. More than 400 sheep died, okay, because followed that one. And then the other, thankfully, the other 1,100 who followed, yeah, cushioned by those bodies. It is inarguably the most expensive breakfast ever for this shepherd. Yeah? This is a true story. I didn't make this up. Here's another one. Oh, yeah, this one. Okay, here's a runaway sheep named Chris. Who's named Chris here? Okay. Named Chris, who apparently got lost for 6 years. He's almost the size of a Mini Cooper, you know? Now, this picture looks funny, but this is very dangerous situation for Chris, the sheep. Okay? This sheep could barely walk or see. When found, Chris was actually starving. He looked chubby and plump, but he's actually malnourished. Anyway, imagine if he fell down. He wouldn't be able to get back up, right? Could easily die of starvation. I hope you see my confusion here. How is it possible that Jesus says that his sheep listen to his voice, that we never run away with strangers, that we never listen to thieves and robbers, when in reality, the reverse seems to be more accurate? We rarely listen to the voice of the good shepherd. In fact, we often run away from the shepherd. When in reality, we know that the voices of thieves and robbers of this world are often much more compelling for us to follow than the voice of our good shepherd. Yes. I'm talking about the voices of the thieves of this world that rob us from our identity, right? That says that we are not good enough, that we have to be good, to be successful, to be powerful in order to be loved, that we have to prove our worth by pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps in order to be accepted. Yes, I'm talking about the voices of the thieves of this world that makes us fear for our own lives, fear of rejection or failures, that makes us run away as far as we could, as far as we could from love, from loving and from being loved. The voices of robbers of this world that makes us feel like we don't belong here, that we are nothing but just floating atoms in this lonely world, that our lives are meaningless without connection and perhaps without a home. And yes, I'm talking about the voices of the robbers of this world that proclaims that this world is empty of God, that isolate us from the divine, that this world, our loves, our struggles, our pains, our sufferings, our tears, is nothing but a long, meaningless stretch of incidents. And yes, I'm also talking about that voices of the thieves, that says that we are unforgiven, that we are unredeemable, that we are hopeless, that we are too broken, too lost, too far gone to ever be brought home again. And yes, I'm also talking about that very voice. You know, that haunting whisper in the dark that tells us over and over and over and over again, death will have the last word. So how can we not listen to these voices of thieves and robbers when their voices are precisely the loudest, the most persistent, the most convincing voices in our lives today? How can we not listen to these voices of thieves and robbers when God doesn't even seem to speak anymore? When the world feels empty of her presence, how can we not be lost? I have no answer, because the fact is I am lost. You are lost. We are lost. But maybe our scripture reading today is not about us being good sheep. Maybe it's not about how well we as the sheep listen. Perhaps it's not about how perfectly we recognize the voice of the shepherd as if we are smart enough to recognize. No, maybe, just maybe, this passage maybe is a promise. A promise that someday, by the loving grace of our relentless shepherd, we will hear, we will recognize, we will follow. Not because we are good at listening, but because the good shepherd never gets tired in calling us by name. She will neither slumber nor sleep in calling us by name. And maybe it's true that someday, even in our death, we will finally stop running away. Not because we finally know better, but maybe because the resounding yes from God, that eternal, unshakable, unrelenting yes from God, will always be infinitely greater than all our no's. And maybe someday we will hear that sweet, gentle voice of our good shepherd. Maybe someday we'll realize that sweet, gentle voice of our good shepherd is actually louder than our fear, louder than our every doubt, louder than our every failure. That sweet, gentle voice is louder than every voice that has told us we are unworthy, unforgiven, or unredeemable. And maybe someday we will finally truly realize that on that cross, right before the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep, he calls each one of us by name. May it be so. Amen.